tidbits. Hi Arnold, thanks for coming on. How does it feel to be a guest on Tidbits Pod number 37?
It's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. Can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym, I'm getting the feeling of coming at home, I'm getting the feeling of coming...
When you talk about my book on your great podcast?
I get the same feeling, so I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
Very nice indeed. Anyway, that's all we've got time for, and for the listeners at home, here comes the actual episode. Today's Tidbits Pod is brought to you by a probably overly tired, bit grumpy Jack Tibble. I'm out in a place called, I think this would be Chelsham if we were being really kind of strict with it. But basically, for anyone in the know, I've walked to Warrenham Sainsbury's and then kind of crossed over the roundabout and chucked a little lefty into that hedge and then beyond. But it's well nice in here, and I think I'm just a bit hungry. I think that's the vibe, but maybe I'll go back to Wallingham, get some Monster Munch, sort my life out, and then we are cooking. But yeah, it's well nice in here. This is, well, I think it's a place where horses come through. And there's little, I think these are kind of mountain bike trail things. So that would be nice to come out here, get a proper bike and do some shit. But yeah, it's getting pretty near a road as well. So maybe I'll turn back, do a nice little loop, and then we're cooking. But all right, let's start it off. So, hola, bonjour, guten tag. Ni hao, privyet, annyeonghaseyo, namaste, dobri den, jambo, salam alaikum, strafo, shalom, konnichiwa, g'day sport, kia ora, hello, hey! That last one for the keen-eared, for any Scandinavians, that was specifically Swedish, and I'll hear no argument. But yeah, if there are any Swedes listening, ganska lot, and runka snoppen. Oh dear, that's probably an in-joke with about two people, but don't mean anything by it, it's just a lovely little phrase. Anyway, how about, and what's wrong with a nice traditional all right chums? That's better, isn't it? And I remember, and that kind of reminds me of my brief foray into East London living, London's fashionable mile end. There was a guy on my road that used to just call me white bread, and this little sort of hunched over Fagin type character, like he had real, I remember about him actually, he had really shiny shoes, little buckle, like a little dolly shoes, and I'd come out my door, chuck a lefty past the little shop, and he'd always be there without fail, morning, evening. I'd just get a little white bread, and yeah, it was just nice, and that was our entire relationship. He'd go, "All right, white bread," and then I'd go something like, you know, there's different degrees, you're not going to engage him too early, you kind of avert your eyes, you get close enough and you give it one of the sort of I'm going to keep on walking nods. I mean, if you've misjudged it, maybe throw in a little bit of a lip turn down, kind of flash the eyebrows kind of thing, or maybe I'll, you know, give it a little "all right mate" or a "hello geez" or something like that. wow, wow, bread. And then we're on a day. We're going our separate ways. But never am I going to stop and whatever, converse. That never happened. So who knows? That could have been a... We could have been like business partners now or something, but you know, you know sort of how big bramble to the belly, how those things go. But yeah, that was nice. And yeah, for those that don't know, actually, like, we're talking about a year ago, just over a year ago, I was planning to move into London, like proper London, fish chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, merry fucking poppins London. And yeah, it kind of worked out because my mate at work was moving, so she was like, you know, why not use the end of my contract so you've got a London base to find somewhere from, which is better because there's not really time before or after work and I'm not going to come in on my days off kind of thing. So perfect, give a bit of money, move in. Nice, but the only snag was that how things worked out is I move in the next day, national lockdown. So yeah, 6 weeks later, the only other building that I'd been inside was the co-op underneath the big grassy bridge that is still technically the park, I think. The Mile Enders would know. Look it up on Google Maps, it's quite interesting. But yeah, the landlord kind of kicked us out, or the contract ended or something, and I moved back to Croydon, and that's my entire East London tale, but which now gives me the sort of, well, I can sort of go to people, yeah man, I was living in London and living there, just taking walks down the canal, man. And but yeah, really, it's just a different room to be cooped up in or co-opted up in. That they were my two options. But yeah, and I say back to Croydon just because it's easy, but in reality, to walk from my house to Croydon takes about maybe an hour and a half on a good day, 2 hours for me often. But or if you take a nicer route, whatever. But yeah, it's just easier to say Croydon, really. Like, my area is right on the cusp. So you've got Croydon one side. Like, I'm by where the sign is. And I'm between Croydon and kind of more generic Surrey. Which, you know, it means the area is quite, well, kind of interesting people-wise. And... Well, for example, my school, which is also on this cusp, had one of the cool kids at my school was called Rupert. That's probably going to give you what I'm talking about. And I mean, yeah, unironically, people used to call him Roop Dog. That's the kind of place we're talking about. You know, any other school, any other time, Rupert's getting rinsed, isn't he? You know, his dad was my doctor until I was about 15, so yeah, Root Dog, if you're listening, hello mate, and say hi to your dad. There's probably easier ways of greeting the guy, but I haven't spoke to him about 10 years or something. Anyway, that's one of the things of getting old. So, well, in my little cuspy area as well, we would get the proper Croydon slang, it would kind of filter out to us on the edge, but it always kind of felt a bit, you know, if a cuspy kid is saying it, it's sort of a bit second hand. And if any of the proper Surrey kids beyond are using it, then, well, you kind of get that moment where you could see that someone's sincerely using a new slang word. This is one of my favourite things. And they've just said it for the first time, and you sort of just, you just see the relief on their face when they kind of get away with saying it. And yeah, I used to get caught out all of the time with these little things. But yeah, one specific time, actually, I think I'm gonna need some context. So anyway, yeah, I'm in a car with my mate Dean, Dino, friend of the show, father of the youngest listener, and we were on our way to the shop or wherever, and radio on, in that life window where you're just kind of, you're really just happy to be in a car that's not driven by a parent, so whatever you're doing is great. And anyway, Tupac comes on the radio, and you do you remember that song, Ghetto Gospel? It was the one with the big Elton John hook, and there's a bit in it where Tupac goes, over there there's a lady, crack got her crazy, and she's giving birth to a baby. And I remember Dean turning to me and he goes, yeah, that rhyme was pretty bait. So I kind of nodded along, absorbed the moment. I thought in my head, oh yeah, that was quite a cool thing to say. So I've kept it with me. And then after a little while, it sort of manifested and churned around in my head into, now I'm just thinking, yeah, Tupac's got bait rhymes. That's what I think. And it's now a kind of cast iron opinion formed on the back of someone cooler than me making a throwaway comment on one lyric. And yeah, probably months later, I'm in a fresh group chatting about music and whatnot. Tupac comes up. So everyone's obviously going like, yeah, I think he's the best ever, like him and Biggie, blah, 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 blah. I think he's quality. And it's all generally positive, of course. And but I see my moment, I see my little opportunity to, you know, dust off the bait rhymes. And I remember leaning in like an old sort of seafarer about to tell a chilling tale, gather around the fire, like all this shit. And just thinking I was really cool. And I went, yeah, I think Tupac's rhymes are pretty bait. He's got bait rhymes, guys. And safe to say, after getting rinsed, I never saw that group again. And pretty much never said bait rhymes in a serious capacity ever again. But we live and we learn. And speaking of Ghetto Gospel, actually, did you ever sing Fart on Me instead of Follow Me? That was fun, wasn't it, back in the day? Those who wish to fart on me, I welcome with my hands. just me? You're missing out. You are missing out. Anyway, treat yourself. Loyal to the game. Get that on. Take it back to when you're specifically 16 or something. But, yeah. Bagels. Remember last time we were chatting about the Brick Lane bagels? In London's fashionable East End. And I did a little Instagram survey to find out kind of once and for all which was best. Was it the white sign or the yellow sign? And it was incredible. Like, the votes flooded in. This thing was up for 24 hours. And yeah, it was overwhelming. You know, we had like a big barrage. 18 votes in total. And the results was closer than you think. So we had 13 for the white sign and 5 for the yellow sign. That's 72% to 28%. And I thought that was a bit much, but I did a bit of digging into a couple of the yellowers. And apparently, if you want sweet, the yellow's better. And if you want savoury, then the white is better. So the survey wasn't that conclusive. But yeah, it's just a way to fill a day, wasn't it? End of the day. But there's a nice video as well of Action Bronson, and he's judging. He's sort of doing a little tour of London or whatever, and it's on YouTube. And I think he'd already had a massive curry, and he's full, so he just gets a random passerby to be a judge of these bagels, and he just stops her in the street, just hands her a handful of bread and meat. He's like, yeah, chow down, love. What's better? Oh, dear. But yeah, hunt it out. It's worth a watch. Anyway, I've been doing a lot of time on the bike machine in the gym, listening to all of the Shakespeare plays in alphabetical order. Cool! But yeah, anyway, I only mentioned the bike machine so I can shoehorn in my little Tour de France fact that I heard on 5 Live. Did you know, this is gross, but did you know that during a full Tour de France, a cyclist sweats enough sweat to be able to flush more than 20 toilets? That's it's fucking grim, isn't it? 1.5 litres an hour of sweat. And for some perspective, that's nearly as much as sort of little Jimmy Thompson. As much as he used to sweat in Tiger Tiger. That's more than him. Or maybe nearly as much. But yeah, speaking of JT, hello Jay. He did send in a question, which I will answer, but I think on the next Tidbits Pod, or at least within a Tidbits Pod within the month of August, I think, because it's quite a good subject. But yeah, how's that for a little cliffhanger? But instead, in this one, the 37th Tidbits Pod milestone special, I wanted to talk about Arnie's book, Total Recall, all about the life of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger, which means someone who lives on the edge of a black mountain. So that's fun, isn't it? And the audiobook was really good. But it's not all Arnie reading it, but he does do the first and the last chapters. And there's a really good bit towards the end where he explains about a letter that he sent to, like, while he was the governor, and this guy had been rude to him or whatever, like he previously they'd had a little bit of a thing. And yeah, so Arnie is now going, like, you know, I'm not going to put your bill through because you've disrespected me or whatever. But instead of being openly rude, he rejected his bill by writing a little acrostic poem of, like, in the letter, he's sort of the first line where he's sort of going, the first line of each, the first letter and the line spelled out fuck you. But I tell you what, I'm gonna get that clip and I'm gonna put it at the end because I'm not doing it justice here, but it is funny. And like the best bit of that book is sort of, it's the films bit, because yeah, that's the bit I'm interested in. But did you know, for example, here we go, that originally they shot Jean-Claude Van Damme was the original Predator. It would have been, you know, Arnie in the mud looking at the muscles from Brussels. But, you know, it didn't look right. And I think they were using a cheap visual effects company, so they ended up reshooting the whole thing. And Jean-Claude did not get called back. But another thing, you know that in The Simpsons, there's that bit with Radioactive Man and he's arguing with the writer or the director or something. They go, like, up and at him. He's like, up and at them. It's up and at him. And that is actually based off of an actual argument that Arnie had with James Cameron. And this is on the set of The Terminator. And Arnie wanted the iconic line. He wanted it to be, I will be back. Because that sounds more robotic. But yeah, obviously Cameron wasn't going to sort of change his script. And we got the iconic, I'll be back. And that's where that came from. I should have framed this bit as the sort of the tidbit of the week or whatever, but another little fact about James Cameron for you. Did you know that he wrote the screenplays for The Terminator, Rambo, and Alien all in the same year? I mean, IMDb is going to tell you different, but in Arnie's book, he says it's all in 1984. He wrote those three action iconic films. So you know, I'm not going to go through this whole book, but I really liked it. And yeah, and every single thing, if he liked it, he would describe it with the same word. Like, everything is great. I went to the gym to build muscles. It was great. We ate strudel, smoked stogies. It was great. Got married to a Kennedy. It was great. And I read it. It gets a bit dry around the political era, but, you know, persevere through, because there are little nuggets. And, well, kind of speaking of bodybuilding and stuff, how much nicer is the Olympics than the Euros in the vibe? I mean, I haven't been sort of, as a viewer, I mean, we're talking about the actual activities, but, you know, I'm not in this kind of jingoistic frenzy, like a sort of nationalist idiot. Like, I said it in the last one, didn't I? I was, yeah, I got really, really, really into the Euros. And with the Olympics, you just sort of watch it more for the spectacle. You're just like, fucking hell, like, that guy's quick, or it's mad that that's even possible. Like, how the fuck are they lifting that? Like, this kind of thing. And you just rate whoever's doing the thing at the time. It doesn't really become a sort of, you know, hand on your heart, all this shit. Obviously, there's the national anthems and all that, but yeah, it's just not the same, is it? It's just nicer, just more friendly, open, welcoming, that kind of thing. But in the Euros, I kind of felt the us's and the we's sort of crept in. Talking about the team, like, you're an important part of it. Like, you're actually, I don't know, you'd go like, oh yeah, I hope we win. It's like, no, you hope they win. You're nothing to do with it. But, I mean, I'm saying this now, wait a few months until next year, Qatar, and I'm probably going to be exactly the same again. Unbearable, horrible nationalist bastard saying about how much I love England. But, I don't know. I've got to learn to sort of respect it like a spectacle, like I do the Olympics, and kind of distance myself from it a little bit. But yeah, those other podcasts talking about England, the England football team, were quite cringy, weren't they? But what are you gonna do? Right, okay, I'm gonna wrap this up now. And oh, actually, here's what's gonna be the sort of the tidbit of the show. Do you know Doneo? It means God's gift, but that's not the tidbit. But the funky house guy, the guy who for ages had me singing, I was singing Toenail in the club because I didn't know his name, so I'm just there like Toenail, Toenail, Shimanini, Simona, Toenail, like all that shit. But anyway, tidbit of the show, fanfare, if I have better production skills. The nature's trumpet, the foot of the crunching leaf. Doneo, his real name is Ian. Write that down. There's a tidbit for you. Ian Greenidge. Lovely. Anyway, thank you for listening. As always, it's been a hoot. And you specifically, you've been a delight. Loved your company.
I've enjoyed you. It was great.
But thanks for the nice messages as well about my dog. And yes, if this show wasn't already derivative enough of the Adam Buxton Ramble Chats, Buxton, Adam Buxton, he'll love either of that. But yeah, I do have a dog called Rosie. And yeah, I'll load those stories back onto the Instagram as well, so you can have a look through and enjoy them again. That'll be at TidbitsPo, so TidbitsPo without the final D. Look for the number 37. In the highlights, the email for the show is tidbitspod@protonmail.com. There's details of how you can contribute to the show in the notes. You can review on iTunes. You can tell your chums. And yeah, this has been great. Great. And I will be back. See you later.
True enough, a few weeks later, I got one of Amiano's bills. It was a routine measure about the San Francisco waterfront, but it meant a lot to him. Oh, yes, I've heard it in the capital that this is something that really means a lot to him. So I instructed my staff to put together a nice veto message. It's very hard to explain. You got to kind of see it in a book. It is printed, the veto message. But they came up with a very creative way by writing each first letter of the line in such a way that when you read it down, it would say, fuck you. It started out, for some time now I have, and then it continues on. And then the next line says, unnecessary bills come to me. And then the next line says, care are major issues. And so the next line kicks the can down the alley. So we would find letters at the beginning of the line so that when you read it down, it just simply says, fuck you. So that's exactly what we did. So anyway, you have to see it in a book to actually see this veto message. I just wanted to explain it to you kind of in an improvisational way.